Welcome back here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests. And, well, today our guest is our good friend Barry Shamish, and we're going to be talking about what's going on in the Near East, and certainly the very, very real threat to the peace of the world that centers around Jerusalem, the threat of war in that area, and then, of course, the various forces that are really keeping this whole thing from being settled. Certainly, I'm not sure it ever can be settled because of the animosity there between the Jews and the Arabs, and the Arabs and the Jews. But, you know, certainly we're moving, in my estimation, towards another major war. Certainly the Iranians and the Syrians, with the help of the Russians, who are being helped by the United States. Incidentally, all the funding for Russia, almost all of it, that has allowed them to become the largest producer of oil and natural gas in the world, has come from your tax money. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, don't you feel proud? Through the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, the Export-Import Bank, the Asian Development Bank, and American corporations, American banks, and with the help of some of our European friends as well. Boy, we've gotten an awful mess. But right now, let's get to Barry Shamish, and as the Russians are arming the Iranians, who are arming the Syrians and the Hezbollah and Hamas, I believe we're moving towards another crisis. So go ahead, Barry.
Oh, what can you say about the Iranians? Aren't you talking to them? Isn't the American government conducting negotiations with the Iranians right now?
Well, do you think they're really serious about coming to a peaceful solution?
Of course not, but nonetheless, that statement, just legitimizes, let's put it this way, no, the talks are going to fail and it'll lead to war.
Right.
Okay, and let's just get all this stuff out of the way. And no, they're meant to fail and say that America tried. And then later they'll say that we tried real hard, couldn't come to an agreement, and there's no choice. We got to bomb Iran.
Right, and it's just amazing. I was reading. Most people have no idea what's going on over there in the Persian Gulf. I just heard today that they pulled the Boxer and the Boxer Strike Force out. Now, everybody's heard about the Nimitz and the Stennis and the Eisenhower Task Force. When was the last time you heard about the Boxer Force that was over there, with thousands and thousands of Marines and eight different ships, and one of them was an aircraft carrier? Not a mention of that. Actually, it wasn't two aircraft carriers. It was four aircraft carriers we had over there, and they pulled the Boxer out. They put another aircraft carrier in. So nothing as it appears to be. But you pick up the story.
Well, it appears to be that if you have so many forces in one spot, there is a hint that they could be used. And that goes without saying. Now, disbelieve it or not, a slow week for Israel, and it's still not a slow week. Even the smallest story is telling us something very different than what we're getting. Now, I don't know why you've got three soldiers being captured and tortured in Iraq. I don't know if that was on purpose. But I know that Israel's mind wasn't on your troubles in Iraq. Israel's mind was that France had a new president, Nicolas Sarkozy. Now, I don't know if you know the fuss the Israelis have been making over this Sarkozy, but it's like really, really serious stuff. He's a hero, and he came from Saloniki, and he has a history of Zionism running through his family. Well, folks, the CIA...
Hold that. We'll be back in just a moment with Barry Shamish.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091.
Hello, folks. Alex Jones here, introducing Prudent Places USA, an interactive CD book that is your premier resource for hard-to-find information. Find out about everything from job migration to evacuation information, such as major bridges in disrepair and FEMA evacuation time studies for coastal cities. Zero in on man-made disaster zones, environmental areas of concern, and natural disaster zones. Find out everything from where to get water in an emergency to geographic income levels. Housing prices, complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., full-color photographs, 550 high-resolution full-color maps, and detailed information and analysis that you need. Order Prudent Places USA now for only $29, plus shipping, by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438, or order online at BerkeyWater.com.
Not making the money you were expecting, signing into the hottest new MLM business? It's not that that business is not performing, it's simply that you don't have the proper tools to succeed. Take it from me, Craig Walcott, producer of Exercise is Suicide. Being in the MLM business since 1989, I've learned what it takes to be successful in any business venture, and I'm here to share those amazing tools with you. Get a subscription to MLMincorporated.com. You'll be provided with a 3-hour Industrial Revolution of Marketing seminar where you'll learn the secret recruiting techniques of the networking elite. Why recruit one or two a month when you can recruit 5 or 10 per day, all from the comfort of your home? Learn to explode your business using our lead generating system or create your own. Radio, TV, internet, mail order, we teach it all. As an added bonus, MLM Incorporated will conduct all company introductory calls on your behalf. Plus so much more. Start making the money you expected and the money you deserved right now. Visit MLMincorporated.com and learn how GCN listeners like you have started making more money faster than they ever thought possible. That's MLMincorporated.com. Do it now.
Well, I do stand back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and certainly our guest is Barry Shamus. We're talking about the new premier, the president of France, who's just been elected. And you know, as with so many things, we really don't know what's going on. So let's get Barry's take on this fellow. Is he a good guy or a bad guy?
Oh, he's terrible. Now, I think he's president, not premier, no?
I can't keep track. Premier.
Yeah,
president.
You're right. One way or another, he is ruling France, and Israel is so delighted. His family are all these Zionists from Saloniki, Greece, and there's one little problem. His father is an Hungarian aristocrat, which, by the way, I believe has to be connected to the Habsburg dynasty that was destroyed in World War One. But neither here nor there. His father was a high-ranking officer for the Hungarian Arrow Cross Party during World War II. Now, the significance of that is enormous if you understand Israeli history. His father was one of the officers who shipped 800,000 Jews to die between May and October of 1944. That is Sarkozy's father. Who cares about his mother right now? He's got himself a tie to a mass murderer, but we begin to ask, why is Israel so delighted with him? Now, by the way, that analysis I just gave you came from a CIA overview of the new French president, And they mentioned that his father was a high-ranking officer of the Hungarian Arrow Cross Party. Look, if you haven't read Perfidy by Ben Hecht, amongst other books which describe Rudolf Kastner. Rudolf Kastner of the Jewish Agency flew to Hungary in 1944 in order supposedly to free the Jews there. Now, first of all, we have to ask the big question. Why should he fly to Hungary and not be killed? What Jew trapped behind Nazi lines escaped? What Rudolf Kastner not only escaped, he became real buddies with Adolf Eichmann. Now, how many Jews of the 800,000 were saved? Well, Eichmann said, take them all. This war is going badly. I want you to exchange the Jews for 700 trucks. Not military trucks, trucks. Again, Ben Hecht, Perfidy, on the net. Go and read the details. There are other books. This is the best. Well, Rudolf Kastner of the Jewish Agency refused. Instead, he took home 3,500 friends and family. Now, again, we're going to use this term, which, frankly, you have to read me. You have to look at my books. It's called Sabbatean. It is not Jewish. They have taken over Judaism. They're vicious in their hatred of Judaism. They hate the religion with all their heart and soul. It was named after the theology of one Shabtai Tzvi, who in June 18th of 1666 declared he was the Messiah of the Jews, and worldwide, from Mexico to Iran, they say, that's what they all say, the Jews believed, and the majority of Jews believed that his anti-Judaism was, in fact, messianic, and that Shabtai Tzvi was, in fact, the new Messiah of the Jews. Well, we're talking about right now Rudolf Kastner saving 3,500 of his friends, family, and whatever Sabbateans, I suppose, were still around. The real question, all over again, this mass murder conducted by the labor Zionists. Keep that in mind, because there was a good Zionism that tried to save the Jews. That was the revision Zionist. But nonetheless, Rudolf Kastner was tried in Israel. In fact, he was the one who ordered the trial against Malkiel Greenwald, a journalist who claimed that he was, in fact, working for the Nazis. Now, he lost that trial. That's the whole story of Perfidy. He lost the trial bitterly because he, in fact, sent 800,000 Jews to their deaths. Now, I'm going to just give the main characters. There was the Swede Wallenberg, who was using all his influence and powers to save the Jews. He was a magnificent man. He was murdered on the order of the Jewish Agency. He knew too much about what they were doing. They were not trying to save Jews. They ordered the Jews murdered. That simple. And this book, by the way, when it came out, was so banned. Now, if you don't know Ben Hecht, he was a very famous screenwriter. Maybe the front page is his most famous self-written script. But nonetheless, he wrote a brilliant book showing that, first of all, Eichmann was more than willing to give up 800,000 Jews to the Jewish Agency. Now, of course, the British would not allow them in Palestine anyways. It doesn't matter. The British were up to their knees and up to their heads in all kinds of horrible, horrible configurations. And they were working with the Nazis, the British. This is something not properly understood, and I can dig into that later on. They may have been fighting them, but when it comes to Israel, they were not fighting them. It was the British White Paper of 1939 that kept all the German Jews that Hitler sent to Palestine in the country and allowed no other Jews in the country. They were going to refound Judaism along Sabbatean lines. Now, Raoul Wallenberg, the Swede, was murdered. Now, everyone says that he was murdered by the Russians. Like, why should the Russians have murdered him? Okay, there was no reason for any Russian to murder Wallenberg. There was only one group of people who had to shut him up, and that was the labor Sabbatean Zionists of the Jewish Agency of Jerusalem. They killed Wallenberg outright. They killed him. They ordered him murdered. The next victim, the next person involved in the murder of the Hungarian Jews is the only Nazi ever convicted by Israel. And believe me, if Israel was serious about capturing Nazis, there were many tens of thousands of people they could have captured. But they had a flake named Simon Wiesenthal catching all the little pitchers, and the big guys all got away to South America and Canada and so forth. Nonetheless, Adolf Eichmann was captured by the Mossad and brought back to Israel, and he was put into a soundproof cage so any word he said could not be heard. That was very, very important. And he was supposedly executed. And by the way, I've talked to people who said he was not executed. He was released. The whole trial was a sham. But you got rid of both Rudolf Kastner and Adolf Eichmann and Raoul Wallenberg. They were all knocked off. They were all killed. Now, Kastner was killed in Hadassah Hospital, Tel Aviv. I have a book called Save Israel, where I describe how he was murdered from no less than the man who ran the lab there and was on the same floor that night. His name was Yisrael Cohen. He invited me over to his home in Tel Aviv. I took a compatriot whose name was Yaakov Erker. We got all the information. Rudolf Kastner was murdered in his bed. They tried to kill him once with gunshots. It was the Shabbat, by the way. And it was the Israeli Secret Service who tried to kill him the first time. They failed. They patched him up. Somebody walked into that hospital and put his knee on the stitches. And the pressure popped all the stitches, and he literally drowned in his own blood. Everyone involved with this Hungarian Jewish scam was killed because the Bolshevik, Sabbatean, Frankist Jews running Israel did not want this story to come out that they murdered 800,000, not just Hungarians. The Hungarians may have only been 500,000. There are a few hundred thousand from Romania and Bulgaria who snuck into Hungary as the last place that the Nazis, the last place there was in the Holocaust yet. Now, what does it say about Sarkozy? It says Sarkozy would be loved by the rulers of Israel, just loved. His father was one of the gang who rounded up the Jews and sent them to their deaths. Now, if you think Sarkozy is a proud Jew, he is not. You think he's good for Jews, he is not. But the real, real problem, he is a Bolshevik Zionist. That is who Nicholas Sarkozy is, and the Israeli government have just been, the Yiddish words failing over him. They're going, bending over backwards. What a great change took over France. Yeah, sure it was. It was a great change if you happen to be a Bolshevik Zionist. You got one of your own running a country. And that's, nobody knows this. Nobody is looking at the new French president, and except me and the CIA, it looks like. But you just got a fact, and I'm on your show tomorrow at 10 o'clock in the evening, right?
10 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, thank you for telling me that. I'll set an alarm. We'll go over this in greater detail, but right now, just know that the new Jewish leader of France has a Hungarian aristocrat father who was a member of the Hungarian Arrow Cross Party. He helped ship all the Hungarian Jews between May and October of 1944 to the gas chambers. Don't think that he is some hotshot. He's got a background that's indescribably disgusting. Now, I'm going to tell you about a little story. Yesterday I was talking for about a half an hour and to a good friend from Israel. Her name is Tova. And every word I said, she said the opposite. It was really, really the last. And this is a woman who is not deluded. This is a woman who knows Israel is in major, major trouble. And she's trying to get her grandchildren out of the country, but her own children won't listen to her. Nonetheless, she made a few statements. And number one, Lau. Rabbi Lau is the chief Ashkenazi rabbi of Israel. Now, he decided this week that he was going to run for the president of the country.
You hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Barry.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our Founding Fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2222. For the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Now you can bring Berkey purification power anywhere with the Sport Berkey filtration bottle. Ideal for sporting games, camping or boating, or Sport Berkey is small enough to store in your glove box, so it's ideal backup for unexpected emergencies like blackouts, floods, or earthquakes. It's simply the best personal water filtration system available. So effective you can drink raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, and streams. Unlike other sport bottles, the Sport Berkey's patented filter formulation is so powerful it removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides. It even reduces radon-222, lead, and other heavy metals. This lightweight, rugged 22-ounce filter is small enough to go everywhere, so take one to work and keep another in your glove box for emergencies. Get the Berkey Sport for only $39. Get two for $70 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Order your Berkey Sport today. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Summer is once again just around the corner, and as usual, so are higher gas prices. This year, stop taking it on the chin and start fighting back. Ethos FR, a product tested and found worthy by NBC and Fox News, can save you up to 19% on fuel and reduce emissions by up to 30%. Unlike other products and gadgets you've seen advertised, Ethos FR attacks the source of the problem, unburned fuel. You see, exhaust is essentially unburned fuel that's expelled from your tailpipe. That equates to toxins being released into the environment and dollars being released from your wallet. But with Ethos FR, fuel burns more completely, helping your engine to deliver better mileage and helping you to save money. And it's so easy to use. Simply pour a couple of ounces into your tank at every fill-up, and you're on your way to saving money and the environment. So, do yourself and the environment a favor and visit ctsavegas.com to get your bottle today. That's ctsavegas.com.
We have Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest is Barry Chavis, and we've been talking about the new premier, president of France, maybe. And then, of course, we're beginning to talk about some of the other things having to do with Jews, with Israeli politics. You pick up the story there, Barry.
Well, this is kind of an important story that no one, except your listeners, are going to get, I assure you. It works this way. You know we don't have a president because our last president is facing six charges of rape. That's Moshe Katsav. And I assume, by the way, he was set up. I read how they got him. And I heard him on TV defending himself and the rotten police and what the police did to him. This is the president of the country complaining about the police, and by the way, justifiably too. But so now you're going to have a new race for the president, and Israel's chief Ashkenazi rabbi, Rabbi Lau, L-A-U, well, he throws his hat in the ring. Now immediately, it doesn't take a day before Shelly Yakimovich. Now, this is just a very left-wing reporter, radio reporter, who's now sitting in the Knesset for the Kadima Party. She says Lau had better not run for president. There's too much on him, and it'll all come out. So suddenly I get a couple emails, look what they're doing to Lau, and what are these leftists doing? They're going after everyone. And I just had, and my friend Tova phoned me up, same thing. They set up Katsav, now they're setting up Lau. I said to Tova, and I wrote another friend of mine, Daisy Stern, just Dr. Stern, just to give her a plug. She likes that. It all comes down to one thing. The man, and I wrote this in my book, my very early book, Traitors and Carpenters, in Carpet Baggers in the Promised Land. I wrote the story of Rabbi Lau and the newspaper Chadashot, which doesn't exist anymore. And it closed very shortly after when Lau was named the Ashkenazi rabbi. They had an amazing story that he molested women, and lots of them. And this, by the way, I believe. This story I believe thoroughly, because the women who wrote Chadashot, they had an appeal out there. They said, we have got a couple of women who claim that they went to him for advice, or they went to him for conversion, whatever the reason was, and he molested them. And he touched them inappropriately and asked for the most grotesque favors in return for a conversion you could imagine. It was simply god-awful. And I wrote, after Chadashot got closed down, and Lau became the chief Ashkenazi rabbi. And I wrote, and I said, how could it be that this person actually got the job after eight women wrote Chadashot magazine with very, very convincing testimony that Lau molested them? No rape, I don't think, but nasty molestation. And I wrote my friends back, and I said, don't attack Yakimovich on that. She should be attacked for who she is and this and that, but not on this. Lau, you people don't understand. I don't know what's wrong with you people from the right. Lau is part of the Israeli establishment. They hid his indiscretions. And by the way, pretty bad indiscretions. You had a lot of women claiming that he touched them in the wrong places. I said, don't go after him. Don't go after Shelly Yakimovich, that is. Rabbi Lau is a disgrace. Now, there's a real problem. I don't care about what the left thing. I know it's hopeless. I've run into them enough times in my life to know that they cannot see the truth. They're hoping for the underdog in every single case. You know, if you've got a baseball team, they're like rooting for the third baseman. In other words, the least watched player on the team, they support. That there's something in the left mentality that does that. So I don't get angry at them. And I should, by the way, everyone should. Their naivety is costing us all a lot of blood. But nonetheless, it's the right that I care about because I like them. And they're being royally, they're being treated, mistreated so badly by the Israeli establishment. The same people we just spoke about, the Bolsheviks, Frankist Jews, who run Israel, are just harassing the religious right now. But there's no choice, guys. Rabbi Lau is incredibly, well, the Hebrew word is dreck, and that's what he is. And I'm not going to say what it means, but he is. I said, stay out of this mess, or it looks like you're going to defend every bad person in the world.
Okay, and then hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment. Air at Genesis with Barry Shepherd.
If you would like a copy of this show, come to GCNLive.com and reserve it today. Or call toll-free 877-300-7645.
Do you know the fastest way to learn a new language?
Memorization?
We always did translation.
Is it drill?
The world's fastest, easiest way to learn a new language is Rosetta Stone software. It doesn't waste your time with tedious translation, useless memorization, or boring drills. Instead, it teaches you a new language the same way you learned your first language. And right now, you can experience it for yourself because Rosetta Stone is offering a free demo CD-ROM. Check out the easiest, fastest way to learn the language of your choice. For the free CD-ROM, call 1-800-441-3955. Discover what U.S. diplomats, NASA, and over 10,000 schools already know, that this is the world's fastest, easiest way to learn a language, guaranteed. Choose from 29 languages and request your free CD-ROM today. You'll be amazed at what you learn. Just call 1-800-441-3955. Request your free CD-ROM from Rosetta Stone by calling 1-800-441-3955. That's 1-800-441-3955.
Black Berkey purification elements are more powerful than any gravity filter element on the market. These awesome elements are used in Berkey purification systems, and they can also be used to upgrade most other gravity filtration systems. They can purify raw, untreated water by removing pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, trihalomethanes, and chemicals such as chlorine, styrene, and MTBE. These elements also reduce unwanted heavy metals such as lead, mercury, and aluminum. Unbelievably, they even remove small microparticulate from water like food coloring particles. Yet, they leave in the nutritional minerals that your body needs. Moreover, because they are reclaimable, Black Berkey elements are more economical than the standard disposable elements, providing fresh, pure water for less than 2 cents per gallon.
Get a 2-pack for only $99 or a 4-pack for only $188. Calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful when food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and certainly our guest is Barry Shammer, so pick up the story there. Barry,
okay.
Before you do, let's go ahead and get your web page out and how people can get information, get your books, and maybe even book you for doing some lectures.
Oh, yes. I wish somebody would. I'll go to work at that next week. I'm in America now legally. I have a beautiful new wife, and I'm here legally. So if you write me Chamish, Chamish, at gmail.com, let's make it easy, Chamish@gmail.com, sure, book away. Now, my website is TheBarryChamishWebsite.com, and by the way, I have archived our conversations, and they're more important, I think, than you might even realize, because whatever happens to Israel, we've got it down. We've got to love the history down. For someday, maybe a historian will look and find out everything I'm saying is true. So, TheBarryChamishWebsite.com. And by the way, my books, the latest is Bye Bye Gaza. You go to Lulu, LULU.com. It says search. You write in Chamish, Chamish, and you get all my books practically, plus the latest one, which is not in print anywhere but through Lulu. Now let's go to Rabbi Lau. Now there's he becomes the Ashkenazi rabbi of Israel. Who knows who closed down Chadashot, the magazine that was exposing him as an extremely, extremely serious pervert. But Chadashot is finished, and our new chief rabbi, who I've never been able to look in the eye ever since that day, Rabbi Lau, is now installed, and then it doesn't take him, oh, it's a year, maybe, and he's in Cuba. Now get this. He is partners with Rafi Eitan. Rafi Eitan, it was Jonathan Pollard's handler. Rafi Eitan received all the material from Jonathan Pollard and transferred it to Shimon Peres. And as you know from our previous discussions, Peres turned the material into Iran-Contra, blackmailed the Bechtel Corporation, made Casper Weinberger furious, made James Baker and George Shultz furious. That was Rafi Eitan. Now, what is he got a farm in Cuba for? Now, here is a major question. What Cuba was being used for was not some Israeli spy who right now is sitting in the Knesset with leader of a party called the Pensioners Party with seven seats. Rafi Eitan and Rabbi Lau were partners in what we were told was an agricultural project. Now, back then, Cuba really had only one job for a spy and the chief rabbi of Israel. Somewhere along the line, they were growing cocaine. That's what they were doing. Why else would they allow... They don't have relations with Israel. Cuba has nothing to do with Israel. Why would they allow two Israelis to start a farm project in Cuba? We were told it was avocados. You know, like Cuba needs Rafi Eitan and Rabbi Lau to tell them how to grow avocados. Oh, you know, next show we might just talk about Amiram Neer and Iran-Contra and how they killed him and how we were told was going to take over the avocado market of Mexico, but neither here nor there, Rabbi Lau was up. Not only was he molesting women, he was involved in major dirty work involving Cuba. We don't know what it is. All we know is Israelis weren't allowed in Cuba to handle any kind of business. So why would they allow Rafi Eitan and Rabbi Lau, I believe the year was 1993 or 4, to run a farm in Cuba? Why would they allow such a horrible thing? Now, if you think that's the end of Rabbi Lau, there's a side issue which is extremely worrisome. His brother works for the Jewish Agency. He's the head of a department connected somehow with immigration. I got all this resent to me. Remember, the Jewish Agency brought in 400,000 Russian Christians, that knowing they were not Jewish, for only one reason, and that was to make sure the unity of the Jewish state got good and messed up. Now, this is some nasty rabbi. Okay, now he supposedly, and I say supposedly, let me tell you right now, I don't know what from what, but he's a Holocaust survivor. Now, if he's a Holocaust survivor, let me tell you something. He's behaving like someone who was saved from the Holocaust because of some sort of tie that we don't know a lot about. And I claim it's something to do with Frankish Jewry. Jacob Frank, of course, was Shabtai Tzvi's follower in Europe in the 1770s and 80s. Nonetheless, I do believe that the chief rabbi of Israel is all tied up with the Sabbateanism as well. One thing is for sure, he's dirty sexually, he's dirty in business, and his brother didn't raise a voice while 400,000 Christians were brought to Israel to totally, totally disrupt the country. Luckily, that was stopped. But it doesn't really matter because there won't be an Israel very shortly. Now, that, it seems like a little incident, but I told my friend Tova, I said, you don't understand how bad this guy is. Don't you know the Israeli establishment is the criminal mafia. And anyone who rises to the top of it, this is the highest religious position in Israel, by the way. There is no other religious position higher, except possibly the Sephardic chief rabbi, but there are a lot of noses turned up by the establishment of Sephardic anything. Now, how do you rise to become the chief rabbi of Israel? You are dirty. That's what happens to the country today. The mob puts in another mobster. I told her, Tova, you're making everything tougher for the right, because this is going to be proven. It'll probably explode in his face, and really, really soon, you've got to stop that. And she said to me, well, you know, I can't stop voting. I said, you vote? That was the next conversation. After Lau, she votes. I told her, Tova, the last time I voted was in 1996. I voted for Netanyahu, thinking he would put a stop to Oslo. Within 2 days, he was hugging Arafat. Within 10 days, he gave back Hebron without anything in return. I said, do you want to vote again? And she says to me, and this just shocked me, there's a good man. His name is Aryeh Eldad. Oh, I just screamed at her. Aryeh Eldad was one of the three or four people who called Itamar Ben-Gvir a Shabak agent. Now, we went over this the last show. Itamar Ben-Gvir works for Kach, which at one time, when Rabbi Kahana was alive, was the Jewish Defense League, and was a pretty honorable thing to be a member of. But it has since then turned into nothing but provocateurs for the government. Kach are agents, provocateurs for the government. Itamar Ben-Gvir was the person who walked into Gush Katif, where 2,000 people were gathered trying to put up some sort of fight for Gush Katif. He brings in his stalwarts, his cohort. They put a giant sign on the side of the hotel, Mohammed is a pig. That was their giant sign. The Arabs threw rocks at the sign. The Arabs got involved. The whole world is watching while it looks like the Gush Katif settlers are fighting with Arabs. That's not what happens. The Gush Katif settlers got along with the Arabs. Believe it or not, the Arabs got good jobs. They were very prosperous, and they gave out their jobs to Arabs, and they tried their best to get along with their Arab neighbors. They never would have done such a thing. Meanwhile, Ben-Gvir is whisked away by the police immediately. As soon as he arrives, and two of his buddies, Shimshon Citroen and Daniel Pinner, are both charged with attempted murder, and they still don't understand that this Koch and Ben-Gvir and his buddies like Mike Krzyzewski and Avigdor Eskin, they're all doing the dirty work of the government. Now, Aryeh Eldad went on TV as a member of the Knesset and said, Itamar Ben-Gvir is nothing but a dirty Shabak agent. That's what he told the TV station. And Ben-Gvir threatened to sue him if he didn't take it back, and he took it back. And I view that as utterly cowardly, just thoroughly cowardly. I wouldn't take it back. I was another one who said, I will never take it back. He does work for the Shabak, and I'm not going to say he doesn't. Okay? But Eldad was a coward, and he surrendered. He issued a public apology. A public apology to Itamar Ben-Gvir. And I said to Tova, you're voting because of this coward? And she said, well, if I don't vote, I'll have no say in Israel. And that to me was the end. I said, the man sitting in Parliament, after all these years of working together, you really think you're going to have a say in Israel? Oh, Tova, you have no say in Israel. The only answer is simply not to vote. There's no other answer. Last elections, 40% of Israelis wouldn't vote. I'm hoping next election, well, if there is such a thing, if there is a way to get Olmert out of power. I hope nobody votes. But, nope, nope. She is going to vote so she can have a say in the country. I find that absolutely uncanny that she would actually believe that. Now, by the way, I'm going to add something very important to Itamar Ben-Gvir. I went searching after I got sued, and I found out something. Eldad, maybe, he looked like a coward, and he was a coward, but Eldad brought up Itamar Ben-Gvir at a cabinet meeting, and Avi Dichter, who was head of the Shabak, he went up to him and said, what have you got one of your agents mucking about in Gush Katif for? And Dichter said, I swear to you, he's not ours, he's police intelligence. So, you know, that's how Eldad got out of it. And he told friends of mine who told me that he discovered that Ben-Gvir, in fact, was not a Shabak agent, he was a police agent. But what a country, Israel. Now, before I go on to the next, do we have a little time, or should I slow down before a next little long story?
Well, let's just go ahead and slow down a little bit, and we've got about 5 minutes left to go, so what would you like to do?
Oh, okay. I'm going to tell you what Ma'ariv did to me. Second largest newspaper in Israel claimed, by the way, the story was sent to me by, it was by email attachment. They claimed I was in Israel last week. They claimed that I rushed the tent of Ofer Pinez Pass. That's his name. But believe it or not, his name really is Ofer Pinez. He's stuck with that thing. And now here is the story. Number one, I was not in Israel, and they interviewed me. They actually conducted an interview with me. It turns out the interview was with one David Rutstein, who, if anything, has used me, and now he's using my name. He's claiming he's me. I don't know what happened there. I know this. I was not in Israel, and I did not rush Ofer Pinez Pass, Kent. Now, here's the story of Ofer Pinez. I sued him. Ofer Pinez, from the podium of the Knesset, banned my book, Who Murdered Yitzhak Rabin. He forbade all the bookstores of Israel to carry the book. So I sued him. By the way, I can't begin to thank him enough for doing that. I mean, he made my book a number 3 bestseller in 1 week. Okay, just by that announcement, he sold 5,000 books for me. So, you know, in all truthfulness, I owe him a great deal. Nonetheless, his intentions weren't that, and I sued him, and guess what? My judge was Boaz Okun. Boaz Okun ruled in favor of me in the first session that there is no parliamentary immunity for Ofer Pinez in a private matter that involved business. So he ruled in favor of me in the first session. The next session, he said to me, I don't want to handle this. This is not a case that belongs in a courtroom. I said, what are you talking about? The man prevented me from doing business. That's a civil case. Where else would I take it? And here's what he says. He says, you'll take it to the court of public opinion. Oh, who bought this, Judge? And wouldn't you know it, within a year he is made the registrar of the Supreme Court of Israel. And, by the way, he said, I will let you continue this case, but you have to put down 10,000 shekels, about $2,000 you have to give the court. In case you lose, we're going to take your money. I said, of course I'm going to lose. You're my judge. How am I going to win? And I ended up giving it instead 1,000 shekels to the Institute for the Blind. My lawyer, and I may do this tomorrow when we have a little more time, with a Shabbat agent. Her name was Nitzana Darshan Leitner. She was in on this stuff. Now, this story is a bit long, but we were going to sue Yediot Achronot, the leading paper in Israel, who did a 7-page article on us Rabin conspiracy people, and they said we were dancing on his grave and spitting on his blood and every insult in the world. I made the mistake of telling my co-conspirators to hire her, and she just wrecked our case. The case went absolutely nowhere, and we don't have the time to explain how the Shabbat works. But this Nitzana, within a year, was inviting people to her seminars, her legal seminars, where they would, where they could hear top Shabbat leaders. There's nowhere to turn in Israel. They've got the whole right. They've got the top levels of the Israeli right in the palms of their hand. No one can be honest in that country. Tomorrow I'll go in a little more depth about the story. It's an interesting one.
All right, fine. Well, we're just about out of time. Our guest has been Barry Shamus. Barry, one more time, let's hit your website out there.
The website is www.TheBarryChamusWebsite. One very long word, TheBarryChamusWebsite.com. And to order my books, you go to Lulu.com, L-U-L-U, write C-H-A-M-I-S-H, Chamus, in search, and out comes my books. I would recommend the new book, Bye Bye Gaza, because it's really the most up-to-date, but I'd also recommend somebody buy them all.
All right, fine. Well, certainly Barry is a commentator on what's going on in Israel. At one time, there were honorable people in Israel, but I'm afraid that those days are rapidly drawing to an end. So we'll have Barry with us again later this week on our morning program, and then we'll be, hopefully we'll have him again next week right here at Genesis. Bye-bye, Barry. Talk to you next week.